Let's continue the conversation about ag and politics. Doug Somke is president of the South Dakota Farmers Union, and he joins us now on the phone. Doug, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right, let's start with the state level. South Dakota has a new governor, a new secretary of agriculture at the state level. What are some of the early things that you're hearing from Governor Noem or Ag Secretary Kim Vandeman that give you an idea of what's coming up in the state for farmers and producers?
Well, I really appreciated the governor's address to the budget. Looking at using more than we actually were looking at from Governor Dugard. I hope that the health care issue is fully addressed as we can fully address it the best we can. But the closing of these nursing homes is huge, and she's definitely making that forefront. So I really appreciate that for our rural communities. The healthcare, not only in the state but also on the reservations, is a big deal. And I know Governor Dugard attempted to do something there, and I'm hoping that our governor-elect moves in that direction as well. I think there's a lot of hope there. I think there's a lot of people that are looking at this, and we keep focused on the healthcare thing. Will help not only South Dakota, but a number of our neighbors as well. I think the other thing coming from the secretary's office in the ag, Kim has been quoted in several publications about her concern of where we're at with the supply and demand for our products, and then also on our soil. And I know on their farm, her and Clint do a wonderful job addressing that as well. So I'm glad to see her serving in this role. She'll be a good person to have concentrating on those particular issues.
For folks who are listening and need a little help making that connection for why healthcare is so important to South Dakota farmers, help tie that up for folks a little bit. The impact is huge.
Yeah, first of all, farmers as independent operators, they don't have a corporate structure or a bigger pool to associate themselves with, so their health care is very expensive. Secondly, as we age, the fathers and mothers that are leaving the farm, we don't care for them like many of the European countries do, where they stay on the farm and, are in the household as long as they can be and cared for by that family. A number of times they're put into places like the nursing homes or the rural health care homes to help facilitate their needs. And those are really struggling places. I mean, right now they're the ones that have their own foundations or have their own private angel funds are doing fairly good, but they're still pressured because the Medicare needs don't cover the cost that it takes to give these facilities the care that they need to offer to the individuals. And then that puts a stress on our rural communities as well, because not only does it mean we're not giving the care we should, but also it puts a stress on those that are caring for them because we can't pay them as well. So it's kind of a twofold thing when you get out into the small communities and rural communities, and we want to keep them people that have retired or are in the golden years of their lives closer to home. We don't want to have to travel a long ways to for them to be close to family.
Yeah. Let's look at the national picture a little bit. There's so much happening there, but let's start with Congressman Dusty Johnson being named to the Ag Committee. And he doesn't have the same background in agriculture that Congresswoman Kristi Noem at the time did. But it's significant to have a South Dakota voice on that committee. What are you hoping that Dusty Johnson takes to Washington as a message from South Dakota farmers?
Well, if you know Dusty, he's committed to his public service, there's no doubt. And he'll do his due diligence, I can tell you. He may not have the hands in the dirt philosophy or background that Kristi did, but I still think he'll do a good job representing us as long as we keep in touch with him and let him know what we need to have done. He's definitely shown that in the past when he was on the PUC, so I'm confident that he'll do us a very good job. And I also think Dusty's ability to reach out to others and his networking skills will serve us well in that role too.
Give us an idea of how the federal government shutdown and uncertainty about its ability to remain open is kind of trickling down and impacting farmers here.
Sure. Well, you know, that was really harmful, especially to the individuals that had loans or had grains that they marketed through loans through CCC. They weren't able to get those checks co-signed by the CCC. So that was pretty painful. The one thing it did do, it allowed us a little more time to examine the possibilities of what programs maybe want to be in. Do we want to be more in PLC or ARC? You know, we're still backgrounding those. But the way it looks to me, the PLC is going to definitely be a role that many of us are going to go through in South Dakota rather than the ARC where we've been in the past. That seems to be the consensus of the people I'm visiting with. But also the programs that NRCS is offering, and we've got quite a bit of money that's been in that office. Now, they weren't fully shut down, so we were able to do some things with them yet. And again, it addresses those same things that I mentioned about what Kim is interested in, and that's the soil health and also the ability to manage our soils and our production through those programs that they are offering.
Tell us the difference between PLC and ARC. What are those programs?
Yeah, well, the ARC program is more based on payment that you're going to actually get, and the PLC is more based on the loss between the program that the pays out and the level that you're actually getting the price at. So the PLC will definitely be more favorable to those when the prices are low, and ARC is more favorable for those when the prices are high, and we're definitely in a recess market right now. You know, the other program that we haven't talked about on a national level is the fact that EPA was shut down too, and that definitely set back the implementation of E15 becoming a long or a year-round product to be available, and not to mention also setting back some of the comment periods for such things as the SAFE rule and other implementations that EPA has been working on our behalf as well.
Hmm. All right, let's talk about trade and tariffs as that continues to, you know, it got bumped out of the news cycle a little bit with the government shutdown, but it's still very much a primary issue for us in South Dakota.
Yeah, you know, that's a real problem with this trade war is the fact that, you know, agriculture's been in a surplus as far as the trade goes, not a deficit. So, of course, that's where they're going to go to if there's going to be any retaliations. And, you know, a retaliation time may have been a couple years sooner, not necessarily at this time, but it's a situation that we're trying to deal with. And again, I think it lends to us the fact that we need to start using more of our product as close to home as we can, more domestically than we are shipping it over across the pond. So, and our reliance on them. And I'll just tell you, this is not my first battle on the farm with these type of trade wars, and the other ones weren't so favorative. Matter of fact, we still haven't regained those markets when we lost them. So I'm really fearful of where this one may end up as well.
When you talk about using more domestically, what does that look like? Are there markets, are there U.S. markets that we haven't tapped into? What's the opportunity there?
Well, just really the simplest one is basically for our biofuels. I mean, sure. Right now we're only using 10% ethanol in our gasoline when we know that 30% works just as well in any non-flex fuel vehicle. We just need that same ability to use that. If we are using a triple of what we're doing now, that just exactly helps us get rid of this oversupply of corn that we have, plus puts more distiller's grain out there for us to use domestically here in the United States.
What's the message for President Trump and his administration as they go back into conversations with Chinese officials? What message do you want them to hear from South Dakota?
Well, I think there's more message than just to the Chinese officials, but also to how they work with Congress is that, you know, this isn't a private business as it's trying to implement. This is a government that has run democratically and republicanly, and you got to work with people. You got to build bills. You got to get a consensus, and you know, work to the middle. This is not a dictatorship, and I think you know, that message may be out there, but I really encourage our congressmen to try to get that message to the administration.
And let's bring it back to South Dakota before I let you go. Governor Kristi Noem sort of reprioritizing ag development, moving some folks from ag into economic development departments. How do you think that sort of plays out? What does that look like for?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. You know, that you know, you got to remember industry number one in South Dakota is ag. So these people have already been working in that department. This just officially makes it done. So I mean, I don't think this is anything new, but I do appreciate the fact that she's drawing a direction of it. And yeah, as far as South Dakota Farmers Union goes, we have worked with the governor's office on these programs with our dog food and cat food plant down in Mitchell, and really appreciate their ability. And again, it's added value to our product and also has added jobs to South Dakota.
Doug Somke is president of South Dakota Farmers Union. Doug, thanks so much for being here again. We appreciate your time.
You bet. Thank you very much.